Many people in our world today hope, and I suppose some actually believe, that the world will get better and better, that with time comes a natural progress. Now, if progress is equated to mere scientific, technological, medical advancement, then I suppose they would be right. These things progress by their very nature. But almost nothing else does. Are we happier than our ancestors? If so, what's with all the anxiety and depression? Are we holier? If so, then why is God's natural and revealed law more and more disregarded and transgressed? Are we wiser? Are we more emotionally healthy? Are families stronger? I think each of us sees the answer to these questions to be negative. Jesus' predictions about the end of time in our gospel are general and not specific. But no one can fairly claim that they haven't really come to fruition. The temple in Jerusalem, of which he references, that was destroyed in the year 70 AD, just a few decades after his death, resurrection, and ascension, not leaving a stone upon another stone. False messiahs have come, cult leaders and preachers of the gospel of prosperity and pride and self-esteem. Wars and insurrections have happened and perhaps increased. The number of men and women killed by war in the 20th century was greater than the total number of those killed by war in any previous century. And that's not even counting lives lost to things like abortion. There continue to be earthquakes, famines, and plagues. And many scientists argue some of these things have increased due to things like pollution and ecological irresponsibility. Mighty signs coming from the sky. Perhaps these are eclipses or maybe the dropping of nuclear bombs or even other events yet to come at the end of time. Christians have been and will continue to be hated, feared, betrayed, arrested, imprisoned, persecuted, and martyred. This has certainly increased. In fact, the 20th century is said to have more martyrdoms than all the other centuries before. None of this sounds very hopeful. Jesus gave his disciples two reasons for hope. First, he says that he will give them a wisdom that no one can refute, a wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, not from academic learning. Second, Jesus says that by our endurance, patience, and perseverance, we will save our souls. The translation, secure our lives, or secure your lives, is misleading because martyrs did not obviously secure their lives, but they did save their souls. Not a hair on your head will be destroyed. That's not to be taken literally. This can only refer to our resurrected body in heaven. Now, the main point I'd like to make in this homily, however, connects with this theme of discipleship that we've spoken about over the last couple weeks and really periodically over the last year. In these circumstances and in the trajectory of our world, our call to not only being an intentional disciple or follower of Christ, but a missionary disciple, has, I think, greater force behind it as we consider the fact of the end of times and our reason for hope. These realities should force us to consider more seriously our lives as Christian disciples and give us a sense of urgency. As Christians, we don't believe in reincarnation. No one gets a do-over, a second chance to help people in some second or third or fourth life. No, the time is now. You and I are responsible for our own souls, and we are responsible for this generation of souls. Today, there is a particular urgency to reach people, to reach souls who do not know Christ Jesus and have not surrendered their lives to him. Souls who may be forever separated from God unless we as Christian disciples go out to meet them and to share the good news, the gospel. The truth is that Jesus invites you to participate. He invites each of us to participate in his own mission of salvation. He first desires you to be in intimate relationship with him through lives of regular and consistent prayer, participation in the sacraments, particularly confession and the Eucharist, Christian friendships that challenge us to greater holiness, and striving to conform one's mind and heart to the teaching of Christ and his church, teaching of the apostles. But as you become more intentional disciples in those ways, there's a great kind of litmus test, the list of four things that comes from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. As we become more intentional disciples in those ways, Christ then places people in our lives, if we pay attention to this, and if we have this spiritual vision for it, Christ places people in our lives whom he specifically desires each of us, each of you, to encounter and to accompany and to love and to guide in his direction. And it can be tempting to kind of stay on the sideline of this kind of missionary discipleship. But to abstain, really, falls into the devil's strategy of keeping us distracted or complacent or fearful or forgetful of our call to make disciples of all nations. Our mission to bring others to Christ, it's not that complicated. We simply follow the example of Jesus himself, again, by investing deeply in a few persons that the Lord places in our lives. They may be family members or not. Like he did with his own apostles. We strive to grow in friendship with those individuals and invite them to a deeper relationship with Christ by encouraging them in those four things that I just mentioned: prayer, participation in the sacraments, developing other Christian friendships, and conforming their minds and hearts to the teachings of Christ and his church. And then we call them to extend that same invitation to others the Lord places in their lives. This is what we call like a spiritual multiplication. This is how the church grows. This is how the family of God grows. And we're all called to have a hand in it. 2,000 years ago, Christ Jesus prophesied the end of times and his second coming. The day is coming, and we do not know when. But we do know that there are many among us who are lost in the world's downward spiral, and who risk not being ready. Will we be ready as intentional disciples of Christ, and will we respond with urgency to be missionary disciples as well? The Lord promises us today that he will give us wisdom in our words and relationships of inviting others into deeper discipleship. By our perseverance in our own discipleship and mission of winning others, other souls for Christ, we will save our souls and the souls of many others.